The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
If you're just joining us right now, just saw the video. The NCAA Hurlbutt? That's his name, right?
That's how it looks. H-E-H-U-R-L-B-U-T.
Hurlbutt.
Hurlbutt.
I call him Hurlbutt. He just announced that in Baton Rouge that the course was playable for the regional, but not at a championship level. So we're not going to. The top six teams advance in the top three individuals. I can't blame him. You just said it was playable. Yeah, but not at a. What does that mean, not at a championship level?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you. Is there some definition that I don't know about?
Either it's playable or it's not playable.
It's not even the championship.
So regional.
Yeah, well, it's a regional championship.
So right. If it's playable at a regional
that's
level.
That's so stupid. I mean, after their women's basketball faux pas, now they do this? I mean, NCAA, you keep on stepping on your own self. I mean, goodness gracious. You're stupid. That's stupid. It's just.
You're depriving, I don't know, I'm sure there's some seniors in that who are in that tournament of their last chance.
Well, and this after all last year's festivities were canceled.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get to play last year. Now, what if you're in seventh place? And they just said, "Well, sorry, you can't. You don't. What? What?
We deem
the top six go, but we don't because you wouldn't let us play on a playable course
because it's not championship level playable, and there's no real definition for that. I mean, what does that mean? It feels almost like a made up thing. Oh, it's raining, it's a little soggy. That's not championship level play. What?
I don't even know what that means. Oh, do you see this? I'm looking at John Kerry testifying yesterday. Frankie sent me a picture. She was in the front row of this thing. Mm-hmm. Frankie is in the middle of major events in Washington, D.C. She goes, look, guess who's in the front? Oh, it's me in the front row.
It doesn't make me feel good
here she
about
is right
what's
here.
Going on in there.
No.
You can see her in
yes.
the video?
Yes.
Why is she there?
She was taking pictures of John Kerry.
For the RNC? Why is she there?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's like, what the hell? My little Frankie. And no one's more scared of that than Art.
Everyone should be. Yeah. Considering the stories you've told us.
About Frankie. Well, she's not driving anyone, which is the good news.
But she's still around other decision makers. And
she's influencing.
And she created some graphic that someone really likes. So she's influencing someone at least.
I'm sure she's in charge of the party afterwards.
If that scares Art, I'm all for it. I hope that happens.
Of course you do.
You hope Frankie is actually, she's determining our policies.
Frankie
our
for
foreign
president.
Policy.
Frankie for president. Nah, no. She's got too many skeletons. And by skeletons, I mean John.
Frankie got.
Yeah,
what?
You're gonna. You think
I mean, you, have
you think they ripped apart Hunter? You think they ripped apart Hunter Biden?
Wait,
watch when Frankie ever becomes a candidate. What they'll do to John? Like,
this is her father.
Yeah. And in other news, ESPN 97.5 has scrubbed all of the Bench podcasts.
I don't take no orders from no woman. No.
Well, your daughter becomes president, that'll change.
Oh my God. The University of Houston women's golf team was in eighth place. Didn't get to play.
And they got screwed.
Yeah,
that's the fallout of this.
That sucks. I mean, you suck, NCAA. Hurlbutt.
And the biggest issue
Your name's Hurlbutt.
The biggest issue is these institutions empower them.
How can you empower a guy named Hurlbutt to make any decisions for you?
My name is Hurlbutt. No, your name is Hurlbutt.
Your name is Hurlbutt.
And the institutions, whether it be Houston or LSU or other, these are the people they decide they want empowered. Maybe not necessarily Hurlbutt, but the NCAA is made up of its institutions, and they're the ones who make decisions about who does what, who should make decisions. No. So they only have themselves to blame.
This is going to catch the same. Well, I don't know about the same ire as basketball did, because that was just ridiculous. But it's just another. Well, Women's, it's not that big a deal. We'll just
don't worry about it.
Hey, I know.
We're letting you.
It's not playable at a championship, whatever that means. I've never heard that before.
We're letting you these girls play. So, I know you girls who came here to compete.
What's the difference?
There's other stuff you can do.
What's the difference? Go take a home ec course. Get back and.
Aren't you working on your Mrs. degree anyway? God, the NCAA sucks.
Is Teddy Bridgewater a little petty?
I appreciate it.
You're here for this.
I'm here for Teddy taking shots at his former team and the way they practice.
So he's with the Broncos now, and he was asked about the Carolina Panthers. As an organization, there's things you can do better. I'll just say this. For Joe Brady's growth, that organization, they'll have to practice different things in different ways. One thing we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice two-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone. You walk through the red zone stuff, then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you'd only get like 15 live reps. Guys, reps would be limited. And then Matt Rhule was like, I feel really good about the process, the way we practice and our process. I'm never going to speak badly about a former player.
I wonder what their red
zone. He took the high road.
Do they have red zone numbers in there? I wonder how poorly they did in the red zone. That might be able to speak to whether Teddy's right on it.
How'd they do in 2 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, Matt Rhule might say, we were only bad in red zone because you were the quarterback.
Yeah.
But if they were just bad in red zone, maybe Teddy has an idea about what they should or shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I'll try to find what their red zone numbers are.
Largo says that women's golf story stinks of LSU shenanigans. LSU automatically advanced because they didn't play.
The deep, dark underbelly of this entire story is LSU taking advantage.
It was in Baton Rouge,
yeah,
by the way, the tournament.
Your people again.
Now I don't feel so bad about it.
Terrible.
LSU advanced. I don't care if the rats ask about LSU golf.
I know you don't. Carolina was 28th in red zone offense last year, so they were pretty bad.
They were pretty bad.
Yes.
Maybe they should practice it more.
Maybe, if you're one of the worst in the league at it.
Yeah, and maybe Teddy's right. Maybe it'll wake Joe Brady and Matt Rhule up to it. Maybe, guys, being around the Texans for years, they practiced red zone. They practiced 2 minute a lot, and they practiced red zone live. So, and I remember Dom and Bill O'Brien getting pissed when they didn't score on, you know, or anybody messes up, then he may have a point here. And maybe, you know, while it seems like it's petty and he's out there, you know, throwing rocks, maybe it's something that'll, in the long run, be good for him.
Yeah, they were
Joe Brady doesn't, although I would, the LSU did just fine red zone, and they did just fine in 2 minutes.
They had a superior talent advantage, certainly. That's true. So a little different. And they were just over 50% in the red zone. TD success. And the teams who were worse were Dallas and Cincinnati, who were both at 50, and then the Giants and the Jets, who were 46 and then 42. So one of the worst in the league as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Well, and you can understand the Cowboys because they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, and we understand Cincinnati did as well.
Yeah, and the Jets
and
were
the Jets.
And the
Giants.
And the Giants are the Giants.
Yeah.
They didn't have any weapons. It's a big year for Daniel Jones. He's got some weapons, that's for sure. This is a nice story. The Houston Astros are providing furnished apartments to minor league players across all levels this season, something no other club is doing. It's a meaningful gesture that has quickly become a topic of conversation in other minor league clubhouses. As if it's not hard enough to be, you know, with the COVID and everything else, how economically difficult it is for these minor league players to pay for their own. And, you know, there's guys coming and going from minor league teams. You get moved up from A to double A. Then you go to, you know, and you got to do this. You got to find an apartment for half a year or, you know, 4 or 5 months. And all of the problems that this creates. I wonder if this isn't going to be a trend, which has begun by the Houston Astros. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
I know why they wouldn't do it because of the money. But why wouldn't you do something similar to what college teams do with an quote unquote athletes dorm, just athletes apartments, your team apartments. These are, look, guys,
or if you buy it, buy an apartment building.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Something similar to that where you, it's just for your team. And, of course, the players can decide if they don't want to live there or not. It's their option. But you have a place for them that takes just one more burden off them.
By the way, they are your property. So you're trying to make it as easy as possible on them.
Yeah.
You're trying to get them to be as successful as they possibly can. This would be one thing that they don't have to worry about. They could put a little bit, maybe a lot more money into their own pockets. I mean, much easier life than it is right now at the minor league level. All of these things are positives. It's going to just cost you a little, it's going to cost you more money. That's all. But with fewer minor league teams this year, maybe this is one of the reasons the Astros did it. Fewer minor league costs. You know what? Let's help our guys out here. It's a hell of a gesture. Nice job, Astros.
So the Skeeters have furnished apartments in Sugar Land.
Yeah.
Or at least the team does.
Well, the Skeeters did that for their guys. Do you know the apartments right outside of left field?
Yeah.
Right outside those apartments over there? The Skeeters had been taking care of their guys over
there. Nice.
And so now they're doing it. That's neat. Way to go, Astros. Way to start a trend. Maybe the other minor league teams will pick up on it. It's not an easy minor league. Being a minor leaguer is not an easy life. It is not. So to make it that much easier, nice job. 1014 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you would like to get in here and hang with us.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 1017 ESPN 97.5. For those of you just getting up, or those of you who haven't been listening to the show, those of you who haven't heard yet, Tony Busby, Mark Berman put this out. Was it last night or this morning? That Tony Busby says that four of his clients have met with the NFL's lead investigator, Lisa Friel. And 8 to 10 of his clients, Tony Busby's clients, who are suing Deshaun Watson, have met with the Houston Police Department. And Busby pointed out the Houston Police Department has been perfect. While Busby praised HPD's efforts, he expressed concern with the way the NFL is handling things. Some of the women did not feel they were being respected, which led to Busby attending the fourth session and said he told the NFL, let's be clear, every time these women recount this situation, they have to relive it. Busby said other members of his staff attended the first three sessions with the NFL. Busby also pointed out there are probably four more women who want to meet with the NFL, but he's not certain he's going to allow this to happen. When asked about a possible settlement for each case, Busby said that is not happening. So, all of the speculation about the quiet, all quiet on the Western Front, all of that speculation that it was because there's settlements coming, doesn't appear to be the case. Just doesn't appear to be the case. We don't know whether or not it's not clear whether or not they've tried to settle, whether or not they're at an impasse, whether or not just no talks whatsoever. No idea. But Busby said, settlements, that is not going to happen. So either they are far apart, or listen, Rusty Harden has made it clear that he thinks all of them are lying, so maybe he feels like he can win every case. He ain't settling anything. He's not going to have his client pay a dime. He's not going to have Deshaun's name dragged through the mud when all these women are lying. That's a possibility. Maybe it's Deshaun's side that says, we're not going to settle. Or maybe they're not even in the same stratosphere as far as money that they think should be going to these women.
What we've learned through what Busby has said is that there are more than a couple of women who have decided they don't mind having a conversation with the police about this. There is an assumption that if you're not going to the police, then how seriously can we take this? Well, now decide how serious this is if they're actually having these conversations with the police. And then this whole settlement thing appears to be out the window. So the blind speculation is if we're to believe Tony Busby, completely wrong. And this is not going to be a short thing. This is not going to be a thing where 22 cases get resolved before training camp. And a trade can now commence where Deshaun will have a new home. And maybe he still has to deal with an NFL suspension, but his future is set in stone because he will be someplace he wants to be. All that stuff is still up in the air. And I don't think we're close to finalizing or figuring it out at all.
Yeah, I mean, this is really bad news. Really bad news for the Deshaun Watson. If you hope that Deshaun Watson will be a Texan, if you want to see Deshaun Watson play this year, the fact that this is not, they're not even, maybe not even talking about a settlement, this is going to drag on for a while. Now, the good news, if you are a fan of Deshaun Watson, is that it appears that the NFL and Lisa Friel, if the women feel like they are being disrespected in these interviews, then maybe the NFL is siding with Deshaun and thinking that none of these accusations are plausible. So that might be good. That's some good news that maybe Deshaun won't get put on the exempt list. Maybe Deshaun won't be suspended. And through the interviews, it appears anyway, according to Tony Busby, that the NFL appears to be, if not siding with Deshaun Watson, then at least not respecting what these women are saying.
He didn't really delve deep into what he meant by lack of respect. Could it be a lack of tact? Maybe, because he said when they're asked these questions, that means they have to relive this over and over again. And maybe he doesn't appreciate the lack of sensitivity to the topic. So the NFL would hope your interpretation of what's going on isn't what other people believe, because if it's out there that they've already made a decision on who's telling the truth, it wouldn't go well for them if that became the national perspective. I would say maybe it's a measure of tact, and this is a sensitive thing to talk about, and if maybe they're not showing the correct sensitivity, Tony Busby's taking offense to that. So we're not in the room. We don't know what's being said. But it does remind me, like, you watch enough of these things happen in fiction where you're watching a television show, and you just get uncomfortable by the questions being asked, and you can see the person asking the questions doesn't take into account what reliving this would do to them. Maybe it's some of that. Maybe it's cut and dry, very matter-of-fact, business-like for the NFL, and Tony Busby's like, these women have gone through something traumatic, and you're not treating it as such.
Yeah. It's not a good – I don't think this was a positive what – anything that Tony Busby said.
If you're hoping for a quick resolution.
If you're a Deshaun fan or you're a Texan fan, because it doesn't look like there's going to be resolution to this thing anytime soon. And until it's resolved until there is resolution with the plaintiffs, with the league, with the criminal, you can't trade Deshaun.
No.
So you're... When are you going to be able to get your value when the only time you're going to be able to get value for Deshaun is when everybody knows everything everything is out on the table. How long his suspension or exemption is, and then his suspension is going to be. Is he going to be charged criminally? And are all of these things going to be hanging over his head? All these lawsuits while he's playing. It would be ideal if it was settled. Now, that's the least, because you can go through the civil trials and still be playing football. I'm not trading for a guy that's facing criminal charges.
No.
And I'm not trading for a guy until I know how long what the sanctions are from the league either.
Yeah, if you believe the NFL would have made a decision before the civil trials were settled, that's one thing. But they're certainly not making a decision before the criminal trials, and you're not, like you said, you're not trading for a guy if a criminal trial is proceeding. So that, out of all the things, as far as the other teams are concerned, the fact that there's 8 to 10 women talking to the police would have jumped out at me, because that means there are women who will be more than happy to proceed with a criminal investigation if the police deemed the evidence worthy of,
right.
of it.
Well, the only ones we'd only heard about a couple before this.
Before, yeah.
So now eight. You would think that Tony Busby would know the exact
That's what
number.
I said earlier. What do you mean 8 to 10? You don't know?
What does
know?
That mean?
Yeah.
You would think he would know the exact number of women that have talked to the police, but neither here nor there. Maybe he did. I don't know why. Why he wouldn't want to. Why he wouldn't want to talk about that. But none of this is good news. None of this is good news for the Texans. None of this is good news for Deshaun. And it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon. So it's 10:26 ESPN 97.5, and today's Thursday.
Correct.
So do we know what happens in the next segment? Do we have any idea what goes down in the next segment? Tyler, have you ever heard this show before?
It's my fourth time, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so hasn't been a Thursday this week yet.
What we do next is called Throw Shade Thursday.
Oh,
we throw some, make some shade. Okay, so now if someone wronged you or someone you know in any way, if someone, I don't know what they did to you. Maybe they cut you off in their car. Maybe they slept with your wife. I don't know. Whatever the case may be.
Maybe they wouldn't sleep with your wife. And you had in your
and you wanted to watch.
You have a lifestyle where they upset you by not sleeping with your wife.
That's they're okay. All right, I'm not going to tell what to throw shade about. Okay, maybe that's the case. I don't know, but I do know this: it's time to throw some, make some shade. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
You ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you gotta do it with the effing. All you gotta do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. Let's go. Go to open lines if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Time to throw some, make some shade. Whatever it is anyone did to you, you're more than welcome to come and get in on the fun. 713-780-3776 to throw some, make some shade. Tyler, are you ready?
I'm ready. Del, are you ready?
I mean, sure, I'm ready.
Let's throw some shade!
This is Throw Shade Thursday, brought to you by GiveMeTheVin.com.
All right, peeps, come on in. 713-780-3776. I will start the shade. It is upsetting. It's alarming. It is unacceptable. It is all of those things and more. It's despicable what Hurlbutt did to those female golfers. Listen, if it was. I don't care, volleyball or basketball or a sport that nobody cares about, then I could see, okay? Then I could certainly see. But this is golf we're talking about here. This is the greatest competition known to man and women, okay? And to be sexist like he was, to be unbridled a-hole that he was coming out there and not letting those women play in that regional championship, we just can't have that. Hurl your butt out of here, okay? We don't need you in our NCAA. There, I said it. Beat it.
I'm throw some, make some shade.
I'm not down for this.
Apparently not. I mean, I'm glad you threw shade at Hurlbutt or Hurlbutt. I'm not sure. I can't refute. I'm just gonna say I'm glad. Because I did take issue with other things, but I can't refute. Unless I want to throw shade at you.
You can't refute.
No.
Who's up? La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Are you ready? Juanito G. What's up, Delvincito?
¡Delvincito! ¡Delvincito! Para tres.
Para tres, gentlemen. Good morning. Shout out to TJ and Boma, free my boy. Oh, you Mike. Here's my shade, man. I wanna actually make a little quick comment, bro. I think we should have just you, Johnny G, with John Clay Wolf, and just y'all just talk out how many times, you know, how many times you lay the pipe down and all that stuff, man. That's great content, man. Great content. I highly recommend it. Oh, man, y'all guys are going to be cracking up that day. But here's my shade. Here's my real, real shade. I want to throw shade at Fuddruckers, the burger place. We went there for Mother's Day because the ladies didn't want to cook or anything. Cool. But the thing I have a problem with is the mask situation. Now, you know how they say you have to wear a mask to go into the establishment, but you got to eat, you got to take your mask off. So I did that. I followed the rules, Johnny G. You know, I'm a man of the rules. But for whatever reason, I went to go pick up my food. This lady was on my ass about, you got to wear your mask. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, man. I wear my mask. But yet, other colored people weren't wearing their mask. I'm not going to say woo, but she didn't tell them anything. And I'm curious at her, and I'm like, man, what is going on with today's world? Are we going back to segregation, man? So I want to throw shit at that Fuddruckers, that old hag, you dirty bitch.
I'm throw some, make some shade.
Old hag and dirty bee.
I can't. Wow.
Well, don't make
racist
determinations about who should wear a mask.
Mask racism,
based on the color of the man's skin. You're gonna bother me? Bother them?
But it appears that you would have benefited from it.
He said other color. He didn't say. He doesn't tell what color.
Well, it may have been.
You don't know who would have benefited.
You don't know.
That's what I'm
saying.
Might
have been a black guy she didn't tell.
Well, why does it matter?
Because.
Why? If I'm going to.
Well, he said it was mask racism.
Well, it probably was. But just because the man is black doesn't mean I'm going to be like, okay, at least the black guy got over. I'm not going to do that.
But it could have been a white guy.
Yeah, we don't know who it was.
It's okay. You're
sorry,
white.
You're one of us.
It's
it
okay.
Matter.
You're white. You don't have
I don't to. Know the I don't know the race of the no. the person working there or the person who wasn't bothered. He just said it was mask racism. And that's wrong.
That's right. No, any kind of racism is wrong. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Lazy J, what up, Lazy J?
What's going on, Johnny G? RIP Raheel. Yeah. Hey, buddy, got a question for you. What do you think about LeBron, a.k.a. GM? He was over there after the game last night. He was over there recruiting Kelly Olynyk. And I think I was reading his lips, Kelly Olynyk's lips. He was like, oh, I don't care. We can talk about it.
Go ahead. If LeBron thinks Kelly Olynyk is the same guy he is now, that he would be when he's not the almost number one option on the team and he's got to get the scraps, go ahead, take him. The Heat dealt with that for 3 years. Kelly Olynyk's a fine rotation player. He's not the guy we're seeing from the Rockets right now. But LeBron, go ahead, hey, sign him.
But Matt Bullen was talking about that. He discovered his setback three, so that's what he was saying last night.
Kelly Olynyk is a guy feasting on opportunities on a bad team. Put him on a team that's got to play for something. Please do. I hope the Lakers sign him. I hope so.
I got you. My quick save this week is going to be right back at La Raza, man. Hey, man, you invited me out, you know what I'm saying, yesterday to chill with your cousins and your people and stuff like that. And then you flake on me talking about, oh, yeah, they heard the podcast a couple weeks back when I called them a dirty salvi, talking about I was racist. My wife is El Salvadoran. My son is a tri-racial kid. He's black, Mexican, and Salvadoran. He's so confused, he don't know what he want to eat.
I'm throw some, make some shade.
Oh. You got any shade?
You know, I kind of do. It's for Urban Meyer. Why'd you bring Tim Tebow back in our lives? We were done. Weren't we done? Didn't we feel like we were done with this? And now it's become a thing. And I'm not, look, I do this, but I don't consider myself media, so I'm not gonna love the Tim Tebow thing. We were done. We're gonna probably get a couple retrospectives because it's a 10-year anniversary of what he did against the Steelers. But that was it. We were out of Tim Tebow, and he brought him back. And so I have at least a summer of having to hear about Tim Tebow. Urban Meyer, I've always disliked you from the time you were at Utah, the time you went to Florida and Ohio State. My favorite moments of you are you can barely hold yourself together after losses, and you sat on that stupid golf cart eating that dumb Papa John's after you lost to Michigan State. That's my favorite Urban Meyer moment. And when they go like 4-12, that'll be my next favorite Urban Meyer moment. He brought Tim Tebow back into my life. I hate him for it. Why?
We were done.
It's just Tebow.
And you know what? And another thing,
Tebow hate.
An issue. Now we got callers saying people don't like Tim Tebow because he's white. No. That happened earlier today. That's why I dislike
Tebow
Urban Meyer.
Racism.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. That's the temperature. That's the climate today, Dell. I'm not refuting.
I understand. I'm just thankful. If John, I hope you were right, John, that he doesn't make the roster. Because if he does make the roster,
he ain't making no roster.
Maybe Urban. Look at their tight ends. It's not like they tried to improve it. Maybe he does make it as a third tight end /H-back.
Well, if there's a team that he can make, it's that team with those tight ends. Oof. That's for sure. I mean, it's probably the weak, other than the Texans tight end situation, it's probably the weakest tight end situation in the league. So
why didn't you just?
I guess there's a chance.
Why didn't you just draft?
So there's a chance.
I mean, the Texans probably scooped you, but why didn't you just draft Brevin Jordan? And now Tim Tebow wouldn't be a thing for us.
Yeah. All right. 10:40 ESPN 97.5. That was the weakest throw shade Thursday yet. So congratulations to all you. Lazy J was the only one that wasn't lazy.
La Raza called in.
La Raza and Lazy J.
We had an Alex who hung up early.
The warehouse was off today, apparently. The warehouse took the day off today. 10:40 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got some news of the weird. And here, let's start it with some sound, okay? So, Del, I'm going to show you a picture, and you tell me if this is something that you'd be interested, if she is something you might be interested in, okay? Here's a picture. And she's a pretty attractive young lady, isn't she?
She looks like an actress.
Yeah.
I've watched on TV.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's very attractive young lady. Now let's hear her telling what she's looking for.
My name is Giselle. I'm 19 years old. I live in the United States. I'm a part-time model as well as a part-time student. I want to sell my virginity at Cinderella Escorts because I want to be able to pay for my school and go traveling in the future. I think I should be able to do what I want with my body because it's my choice and I feel comfortable with my decision. I want more opportunities to arise for me by doing this and hopefully good things will come in the future.
So she's selling her virginity.
Okay.
Very attractive young lady. Mm-hmm. $3.9 million.
That's her price tag.
That's her price for selling her virginity.
Okay, what's your question?
Do you think that you would pay $3.9 million for her virginity?
What do I say that doesn't get me fired? No, I'm not. I don't believe in paying for a woman's virginity or for sex.
Well, if she wants, but she says she believes she, do you agree with her that she agrees that she,
do I
she
agree
it's
with
her
what?
Body, she should be able to do what she wants?
Look, I am not making a judgment on it. It's just not for me. If she so chooses to do that, and hopefully it's safe and there's no harm that comes her way, by all means, do what you choose.
3.9, you think the price tag might be a little high?
Who is she, Will Wade, putting the price of peas going up?
The price of pea went way up. Way up.
I don't know. I mean, if so, look, it's only high. It's only high if no one wants to pay it.
Right. I mean, a really, really rich guy like Jeff Bezos go 3.9, whatevs.
Well, the guy who did pay $3.9 million is an Abu Dhabi based businessman. He beat out
that tracks
a Hollywood actor. So
not only was it for sale, but it sold.
Yeah, that's the winning bid. She claims that she did sell her virginity for that much.
So she got 3.9 for it?
She will. She had a bid of...
Might as well ask for the world.
And you might get it.
A Russian politician. Probably...
Putin?
Actually, I didn't want to say his name because I don't want that.
You said it.
You said it.
You were thinking it. You said it. I'm saying Mr. Putin. I don't agree with that.
The Russian politician, $2.37 million. And then a Hollywood actor, presumably... Army Hammer, because he's probably into that kind of stuff.
Now you're just casting aspersions.
I don't care about Army Hammer coming
aspersions,
for me.
Aspersions. No, but 3.1, so it is a Hollywood actor. We just don't know.
We don't know who it is, yeah.
Which Hollywood actor would pay 3.1?
Army Hammer.
Does he have that type of change?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been a lot of independent stuff. I mean, I don't know if he's been in movies that make a lot of money.
I think it's probably Ryan Gosling. I don't know.
Really? He's got Eva Mendes. You think he's doing that?
Army Hammer's wild family history includes a $180 million fortune.
Okay, he's rich. Oh, he's rich beyond acting.
He's a trust fund kid.
Okay.
Yeah, then he's got the money. We're not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Well, I'm worried about him with other things.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems like a high price, but I could see a sheik paying for it. Is it an Arab sheik?
It's an Abu Dhabi based businessman.
Yeah.
That's it.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a good looking girl, don't get me wrong, but 3.9, that price of pee has gone way up. Wow. But I don't know. If you can get it.
If you're so. Look, the bigger thing about this is how upfront about it is.
Yeah.
It's different. We know. Well, we don't know. I don't know any woman. I've never run into a woman who has decided the value of that particular thing is 3.9 million having sex with her. But women have been getting rich off doing this for years, like as a profession. Not rich, but you know, living that way, like prostitutes is what I'm saying. They're or high class escorts, or whatever. But 3.9 is a different ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a different ticket for a woman who uses that to get a really, really rich guy.
See, I was trying to stay away from that part.
There's more details of it.
I don't
too.
Need any more. Let's move on. This is a sad story. Utah police are now banned from shooting at people who are suicidal, but only a threat to themselves. Let me ask you a question, Utah police.
Okay.
Why would you shoot at someone who's suicidal and not threatening someone?
That they had to enact a law to make sure they don't do it?
Well, but listen, all you're doing is, if they're suicidal, you're actually performing the suicide for them.
We've heard suicide by cop. Heard about that. Yeah,
right.
It is a thing. So they are no longer legally allowed to shoot someone who wants to commit suicide. Is that what the ruling is now? Okay. I would have hoped that would have just been common sense. As long as they don't prove to be a danger to anyone else, they're not carrying a weapon that can hurt anyone. Why would you shoot them?
Right.
What is
the point?
Yeah. What's the point? What are you trying to do?
What if they decide? Well, did you see the minor league baseball player that tried to commit suicide and he hit a homer?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, maybe he's going to decide. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should don't. You don't have to shoot me.
Really?
Wait. I might change my mind.
I made a mistake.
Wow. Wow. A federal judge in Montana. We're going to stay up there.
Nice.
Utah, Montana has decided that a man convicted of consensual gay sex will not have to register as a sex offender, seeing as how there's no law on the books against consensual gay sex.
What is going on?
There is no law against... See, it was an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Okay, but by law...
They charged the 18-year-old, but yet there's no law on the books that sex with between an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old that you would have to register as a sex offender. Right, but because it was same-sex...
So there's no law against it. Because, you know, when the Montana people were putting their laws together, they probably never assumed that I guess gay sex was going to be a thing they had to deal with, so that it never got on the books. So this guy or this person doesn't have to go to jail.
Right. So that was probably a good ruling, since there's no law against it.
So you can't actually charge him with anything.
Yeah. So that seems to be the case. In Chicago, they've released 1,000 feral cats because of the rat explosion in the city. Not only is everybody killing everybody, but there are a boatload of rats.
There's going to be
feral cats.
Are there going to be a rat genocide in that city pretty soon?
Well, but then what are they going to do with the cats? Problem now. Now you've got 1,000 feral cats.
What are you going to do with the cats?
Which will turn into about 90,000 feral cats in no time.
Because they probably did neuter and spay those cats.
Right.
Because who wants to do that with this feral cat?
Yeah. So.
So now.
Nice job, Chicago. Keep it up.
Now the foaming at the mouth dogs will be released next to take care of the cats. It's a vicious cycle.
Police have solved a rash of crimes in Clayton. Apparently, an unlucky thief had a flat tire and he was hit by an 18-wheeler. Turns out he had broken into 16 cars, but now he doesn't have to face any charges because he's dead.
And he won't be breaking into any cars.
No more cars. How badly do you think this guy wanted to get out of Fort Jackson, Jovan Colazo? He so badly wanted to get away from the army that he hijacked a school bus full of kids.
Ooh.
Yeah, to try to go home.
So he needed a ride that badly?
So badly. I'm taking this school bus.
You know, hitchhiking could have been a different option.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently Dave in the Med Center said they are spayed and neutered, those feral cats. So they
still got 1,000 of them.
Yeah, you still have to collect them after it's over.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. And all the cat poop all over the place. Apparently, a couple, Hawke's Bay man, bought a car. When he picked up his license plates, they started the first three letters were NGR.
For Nigeria? No.
I don't know, but he was like, I don't want this plate.
You know you don't.
Wait a minute.
Hey, is there any way we can get a different one?
And he's a really, really white guy.
Someone's going to think he did that as a vanity plate. He's going to be so screwed. Hey! What are you trying to do?
What?
Trying to get me beat up?
Yeah, this is not. I don't want that on the front three letters. I guess see that every time I get into my car.
Yeah, it's a good decision by that guy to get that changed.
Apparently, in San Francisco, they had to warn people to not fill plastic bags with gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
They've been delivering after a hack on the nation's largest fuel pipe led to.
Led to a shortage.
People are panicked buying gasoline and filling up plastic bags. Not the best way.
People are running the stores and buying toilet. The whole thing we did during the pandemic, not necessarily filling trash bags with gasoline, but buying toilet paper. People in Florida are like, we don't get our gas from them.
Yeah.
Why are you in line here? We have plenty of gas. People aren't knowledgeable. But yeah, I've seen that. And you see it on Twitter everywhere where they're saying, stop filling gas bags or trash bags with gasoline.
Yeah.
It's not the proper way
That's
to store
that.
It's
not the way to do it.
No.
Maine has a serious problem. In West Bath, apparently, police are investigating how a couple was wounded when their 2-year-old shot them with a handgun. Do you think 2-year-olds should be shooting up the place, but shooting their parents? Do you think this is acceptable behavior by 2-year-olds, or is there some other explanation for the idiots having a gun near a 2-year-old?
That is the crux of this. Maybe you deserve to get shot if your 2-year-old has access to your gun.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a logical conclusion, but I just think, I don't know. I never got shot by any of my 2-year-olds ever. You know why?
They didn't have access to
it. Because I didn't give them a gun.
Like if you are so neglectful that a 2-year-old can get access to your gun, you getting shot and not dying is probably the best option. It teaches you a lesson, and you live to tell about it.
Are people stupid?
Yes.
Here's how we can solve this problem. Let's not give a gun to a 2-year-old.
Well, no, we know it's a good shot, though. The kid's a good shot.
Yeah, pretty good shot. Got both mom and dad. Got them both.
Yeah, it's a sharpshooter. Make him a sniper.
Oh. Vermont family is suing. Here's another one. Here's their daycare because their baby was dosed with drugs at the daycare. Who gives a baby a bunch of... What is wrong with everybody?
This is why...
Keep drugs and guns away from babies.
People always talk about the miracle of life and birth. And like, well, how could it be a miracle when so many people can do it? You're not special if you're a parent.
No, all you have to do is have relations.
Yeah, and
so
you're not...
It's not special.
And you're not special... It's not special to be a parent either, because the idiots that get to do it, how can it be that special?
It's not. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to have a baby, that's for sure.
Or be a parent.
Or that... Or a daycare worker. 10:56, we're done. Charlie Pulido is next. We will talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.